Hey, everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
2 hours in the books on the morning drive. Corey Curtis with Derek Mason. We are at 6029 Nolensville Road in Nolensville at Sudden Service this morning, where you can drop on by, say hi to a living Titans legend, Derek Mason. How many yards receiving did you have in your career, Mace?
Over 12,000 yards.
And how many touchdowns?
I think 66 receiving and another 3 or 4 return.
And no one pays attention to stats at all.
Not really.
No, not at all. Not at all.
But I was the second player in NFL history to have both over 10,000 yards receiving and 5,000 yards of return yardage. You know who the other guy was?
No, go ahead.
He's a Hall of Famer, too. Well, not two, but he's a Hall of Famer. Well, hell yeah, I should be in the Hall of Famer. But it's Tim Brown.
Tim Brown
is the other guy.
Yeah, Tim Brown played for
The Raiders.
You know, I can go into these conversations about the Hall of Fame with you and Eddie and Steve and, you know, the lack of the Super Bowl victory, where you played, you know, these things, for whatever reason, all come into the mix, and also who's fighting for you.
Yeah.
That's important.
Important
as well. So, you know, we wait and we see and we cross our fingers for all you guys in the future. But come on down here to Sudden Service. Bring toys, clothes, or school supplies. Drop them off. Get a free cup of coffee. There is a Nashville Predators Winter Classic jersey, which you can register for. The registration was inside. It's moved outside. There was some confusion about that. I'm sorry about that. But you can register for the Winter Classic jersey, and you can look indeed pretty sweet. All right, the college football playoff poll came out last night. Heather Dinich from ESPN is here to join us now to talk about the way the rankings shook out. Heather, first of all, any surprise at all that Ohio State stayed on top?
No, I don't think so. I mean, if you actually watched the game against Michigan, which a lot of people probably did, I don't think there's any doubt that they're the number one team in the country. They go on the road, they embarrass their rival. And while LSU looked very good against Texas A&M, played a complete game, wasn't exactly the same kind of challenge, road environment, etc., that Ohio State faced. So there wasn't much of a surprise there. But it can certainly change in a week.
Well, what's going to probably change is who number four is. It's still Georgia for now. But the simple fact is they have to beat LSU to stay there. If they can't do it, who's number four at the end of the day?
It's such a tough question to answer without seeing the Pac-12 and Big 12 conference championship games because, I mean, look, everybody keeps talking about Utah, Baylor, and Oklahoma, and those are the three teams to talk about. But guess what? Oregon can win that game. They're a good football team. It's the Pac-12 on a Friday night. Who knows who's going to win that game? But if it is Utah, then they absolutely have to have a convincing win and continue to do what they've done all season, which is impress the committee by playing a complete game on both sides of the ball. If they can do what they did to Colorado against Oregon, then that would be a lasting impression. I think they would be able to jump into that fourth spot. If you watch that game against Colorado, Tyler Huntley had a great game. He only threw 3 incompletions. The defense held Colorado to just 60 rushing yards. I mean, that's a tall task to ask against a very talented Oregon team, but if they can do that, they might be able to win a debate against a Big 12 champ. But if they lose, it's the winner of the Big 12 in that fourth spot.
But style points count.
Style points count. Yeah, you guys have to remember, and I remind people of this every year, that this is the one weekend when the committee's watching the games together, and then they literally get up at the end of the Big 10 championship game and walk into the room right next door and sit down at their computers and start to vote. So these games are fresh in their minds, and that's what they're talking about as soon as they sit down. Whole body of work? Absolutely. But how these games play out starts that conversation.
Now, Heather, if you look at, because obviously if the scenario depends on what Georgia and LSU does. I think even if Ohio State or Clemson lose, I think they're still in. But Georgia is the team. If they lose, if they win, I believe they're in. If they lose, then the conversation will be, well, who gets in, Oklahoma or Utah? Oklahoma would have played Baylor twice, which would have been a top 10 team within the last month or so. If they do indeed win, Utah wins, then is it much of an argument to say, you know what, look at, regardless of how they won, if both games are close, Utah game versus Oregon, they beat Oregon, and Oklahoma's game is close and they beat Baylor, what would be the argument then? Because, again, they would have beaten Baylor twice,
this
which would
Mace's
have been a top 10 team.
He thinks it's Oklahoma.
Yeah, I think it's Oklahoma. I didn't want to say it, but I think it's Oklahoma, Heather.
No, you know what? It might be. Look, here's the thing. This week, yesterday, Monday and Tuesday, the most discussed debate in the meeting room was Utah-Oklahoma. They did not have any re-votes on that. I asked, you need two people in the room to raise their hand and say, I'm not sure, let's do it again. They didn't get to that point, but that was the biggest discussion. And what you're looking at there when comparing them is Utah's consistency on both sides with Oklahoma's resume. And see, I understand what you're saying, the two top 10 wins, and that's so important in that committee room. Also helps the Big 12 that Oklahoma State is still ranked, even though they lost to OU last week. So they would have the better resume, but they have the better resume now. Why aren't they ahead of Utah? And it's because of how consistent Utah has played. So that's a tough question, and I don't think the committee members know the answer to that because it was such a debate in the room this week.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Heather Dinich, ESPN, talking college football playoff rankings. Heather, now obviously if whatever the scenario is, if Georgia loses, then the big debate again would be, should we expand to 16? Because you're going to have...
Mace, we're going to have debate no matter what.
I know, but if Oklahoma gets in, then Utah fans are going to be complaining. If Utah get in, then Oklahoma fans will be
and
complaining.
And Alabama fans are going to complain because they're always going to complain.
Alabama's
undefeated and complaining. Everybody's always going to complain.
I'll tell you this. Uh-huh. This is what will really drive that conversation is if Georgia wins and LSU and Ohio State and Clemson are in, because then you're talking about the Big 12 and the Pac-12 being left out. I think Ohio State and LSU are both in even with losses.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely right.
And you know, I brought up Dabo, and we've all heard and read what he's had to say. I think, Heather, that's all in – just kind of laying the groundwork if they do stub their toe against Virginia in the ACC championship. He's just laying the groundwork to get his team in with a loss.
You know, it's funny how the college football playoff just makes coaches unhinged in November. There's no filter. If you were to ask Dabo Sweeney or any of these other coaches any questions that had anything to do with the playoff like this in September, I guarantee you get – you know, coach speak all the way. All of a sudden, we're 1 week out, and it's like they lose their minds. But, yeah, I mean, look, I think, you know, Derek, I think I heard you say that you thought that Clemson would be in with a loss. I disagree with that. If you lose to Virginia in the ACC championship game, you're a one-loss team sitting there without a conference champion. You've got these other teams there with better resumes. That's when I think resume comes under the microscope, and Clemson has – nothing. Virginia's going to be the only ranked team they play all year long. You want to talk about eye test, I mean, Clemson's living on it all season long, and I feel like if they drop that game, that might actually make it easier for the committee.
And no, you're absolutely right, Heather, and, you know, we discussed that earlier, and, you know, LSU and Ohio State, I think if they lose, they're in. Clemson would be the one team. Would I still think they are one of the best four teams in college football? Absolutely. But because of their conference, and they just hadn't been tested other than North Carolina, and we see where North Carolina is now, and that actually probably would hurt them if indeed they mm-hmm. lose to Virginia.
Right. Yeah, I agree. I agree with you that Clemson is uber talented, which is why there's no reason they should lose that game, right?
No.
Yeah, double-digit favorites. We all kind of talked about what if they lose to South Carolina, and then you see what happened there, you know.
Yes.
So I think it's kind of a similar situation. I think the bigger question is why aren't more people talking about Clemson for number one? The answer is simply because of their resume, but they are certainly good enough to garner consideration for that spot.
Well, Heather, we did our top four Tuesday, and I can say, because you can go back to the tape, I put Clemson at one.
Which is
stupid.
I
did put Clemson at one. No, because they are, listen, they hadn't been tested.
Anybody.
I know. They hadn't been tested, but I guarantee you, LSU, Ohio State, Georgia, whoever's. They don't want to play Clemson first.
That's fine if they don't want to play Clemson first, but the simple fact is, based on merit, Ohio State and LSU have done way more to merit the top spot. You're rewarding potential.
Okay? I'm rewarding who they are as a team. They have the best quarterback, the best head coach.
He hasn't played the best. Joe Burrow has played. Heather, talk some sense.
I know, Heather. I know Joe Burrow. I've been on the Burrow bandwagon for the longest. He will win the Heisman, but Heather, come on. Trevor Lawrence is the guy. He's the transcendent quarterback.
Over the past month, he has been the guy, and he's been under the radar. You know why? Nobody's paying attention to Clemson. You know why? Because they're not playing anybody.
Because they're playing Wake Forest every week.
Come on, Heather. Have my back. Come on.
All right. Heather, thank you. Thank you for getting involved with our nonsense.
I will say this, that you are absolutely right about nobody wanting to play them right off the bat. But I'm curious, Derek, from your opinion, from a player's perspective, about not being tested. I'm wondering this. Like, if you look at Ohio State, when they played Penn State and they won by 11 points, Ryan Day says to one of the assistant coaches, you know what, maybe this has been too easy. And now Ohio State has now been tested. LSU has certainly been tested, pushed to the brink. What do you think happens to Clemson? Are they at any disadvantage whatsoever because they have been cruising through this whole season?
There's a possibility, but I think even though we look at that North Carolina game and we say that could potentially hurt them, I think that woke them up. I think that made them think, okay, listen, we got to go out and play our game. We got to play to our standards, not anyone else's. That's why I love Alabama so much, is that Alabama has a standard of play. They play at that standard. Even if they win by 40, Nick Saban is still upset because they didn't play at that standard. And Dabo, that's where his team is at now, because, like you said, they have no competition. So their competition is themselves.
Right. No, that's a good point. I was just curious what you thought about that, because I'm wondering, nobody wants to play Clemson, but, you know, that Penn State game woke Ohio State up, and they knew that from that point on it wasn't going to be easy, and it hasn't been. And then you see what they did to Michigan a week later, and it's like, well, they got the message.
Yeah, they also buried a really good Wisconsin team to start the season, who they're going to face again in the Big Ten Championship. Heather Dennett from ESPN, thank you so much, and thanks for putting up with me and with Derek here as we contemplate the college football playoff rankings.
My pleasure, guys. Enjoy the games this weekend.
All right, happy holidays.
Thanks, you too.
All right, make your picks now for the three college football underdog teams you think will win this Saturday, and there's not a lot of games to pick from, so you're going to have to go on some limbs. Weekly winners will win a pair of tickets to the Franklin American Mortgage Music City Bowl at Nissan Stadium Monday, December 30th. Hit up thegamenashville.com or the ESPN The Game Nashville mobile app and play now. Silly Underdog Picks is sponsored by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. Talk more college football playoff when we return on ESPN 102.5 The Game.